CFM.
Get up with Bree and Jaunty.
Check it out.
The thing we love about a study is that people do all the work and then we just bring it to the radio.
Oh, yeah, love me a study.
How good's a study?
Oh, my God, have they done another study?
Oh, nothing better than a study.
It's time for another Bree and Jaunty study.
We do love stats that just come from nowhere and we believe them.
And to the people doing the studies, we thank you.
We do thank you.
For doing the work on our behalf.
True professionals. I want to ask you the question. Have you ever... You're in a relationship, you're engaged to Jamie, it's been for a long time. Have you ever had a dream that she has cheated on you?
Yes.
Have you ever woken up and then held that against her?
Of course. And she has done it to me plenty of times. Mine's pretty rare. I think I've only had it maybe once.
It happens quite often to couples, though.
You know what? I didn't hold it against her, but I was sad.
You were sad.
As if it actually happened. I was like, I couldn't believe she did that to
me. Isn't it crazy how your brain, like, and it takes you a while after you wake up. Some people hold it against their partners for ages.
Yeah, and then I found out she had 10 other boyfriends.
Well, that's one case, but there's been a study done. A recent study found that 1,000 people, out of 1,000 people, 23% have had a dream that they cheated.
Okay, so that they cheated.
And or that they were cheated on by their significant other and it caused a riff in their relationship.
What does it all mean, mate? Like, what's it all mean?
I've done the research.
Have you or have they?
They.
Take the credit.
It says, while dreams can be a subconscious your subconscious mind's way of alerting to a dormant want, when a dream occurs, sometimes it can be just a dream and it's important to realise that you can just let go.
Yep.
But they say also that a dream about your partner's infidelity could also be a sign that some trust issues might be there and that you need to work on something. But it not necessarily can be that you think that they're cheating on you, but it can be to do with something else.
Yeah, look, I think when you're in a relationship, you kind of need these dreams every now and then.
What do you mean?
Oh, I don't know, mate. Like, you know.
Oh, just what, as a bit of a highlight reel?
Well, hey, it's not my fault I had the dream. That's the dream's fault. Mm. I was just there for it. I can't be held accountable for those dreams.
So, no,
in
it's
real
your
life,
subconscious, so technically it's you, mate.
Well, grass is always greener, isn't it? When you're single, you want to be in a relationship. When you're in a relationship, you want to be in the relationship.
But you also want to get the hell out.
No, you don't want to get out, but, you know, you think of the single days.
I thought this morning, on 13, 12, 16, you and I, remember that time we had that amazing woman come in and she was a dream interpreter?
Oh, my God, she's not back on the show, is she? She's not back on the show.
She definitely smoked a few.
She came in and we threw some dreams at her and she was, she wasn't
She'd
even making
on the
sense.
She'd been on the hooter. Come on, she'd been
big
smoking
time.
The riff.
Yeah, from the people, you going to do it, are you?
You and I are going to interpret people's dreams for them. Because how hard can it be? She didn't have any credentials.
No, none at all. We need to find that audio, man. Can we find, do you remember
we'll
her
try
name?
And find
the audio.
Dream interpreter.
Someone rang up and said, oh, I had a dream about a dragon last night. And she went,
I do love a dragon.
She goes, do you like dragons? That must be why.
So I feel like you and I could do a better job than that.
Okay.
We're going to interpret your dreams this morning.
All right. All right, 13, 12, 16.
Give us the juicy ones, guys.
Give us some juice. We love that juice.
Get up with Bree and Jaunty.
CFM.
If you've got some dreams you'd like us to look into, Bree, you know, just give us a call and we can work it out for you.
We've done a TAFE course and now we're dream interpreters. That's how a dream interpreter talks.
We had a dream interpreter on our show once and waste of time.
Is this how she spoke?
Pretty much after she hit the...
Hit the doobs.
Never to return on the show. Best dream this morning, 13, 12, 16.
Because a third of people have said they've woken up in a rage after dreaming that their partner had cheated on them.
So this is a study that's been done.
Mm.
And we love a study. This music's going to... put me into a deep sleep.
I'm actually really tired. And talking like this isn't helping.
If you're driving,
I'm going to talk like this for the rest of the show.
If you're driving right now, just try and stay alert.
You're feeling sleepy. No, you're not. Actually, wake up.
Joe needs some help this morning, Bree, on 13, 12, 16. Morning, Joe.
Morning, Joe.
Good morning, Bree and Jaunty.
Oh, she sounds calm. What's your dream?
I dreamt on Monday night. I actually woke up in tears because I dreamt my husband cheated on me, and I'm still really shitty with, angry with him. I'm still angry about it. I'm still holding it.
Mm-hmm. I can tell and by the swear word you just dropped, mate.
Oh, sorry about that. No. Like, it's still really irritating me. It's still up. And I woke up and I said, have you cheated on me? You've cheated on me. In tears. He denied it. And I don't think he would.
Are you sure?
Still, no, he's pretty good. He's okay. Not. He's,
interpret it, Brian.
Maybe okay. He needs to buy me some flowers or something.
You're the interpreter.
I have been cranky.
Joe, I do have a lot of credentials, and your dream does sound very, very concerning. I think your husband's a liar, and I think he has cheated on you multiple times. And this dream is just reiterating that to you, and I feel like you should leave him.
You can do better, I think, is what she's saying.
I'm thinking that it's a sign that your relationship has come to a crossroads and you need to make a choice. And that choice is to leave your husband.
Does this help at all, Joe? I mean, it's a big life decision
T's
to make.
T's and C's, I've never had any professional training.
It's a big decision, mate, but...
Her voice, really, like...
It's Brian, convincing.
You are amazing, your voice. You should get into, like, I don't know, 1-800 numbers.
Oh, here we go, mate. There we
is
go.
Is there lots of money in that?
There sure is.
Is there?
Give us your sexiest real
no,
quick. Come on.
No.
Do you want to hear Bree's sexy
Channing
voice?
On board.
No way.
Channing Tatum
no.
Can't refuse that.
Joe, you shush.
Come on, just...
Joe, you're not helping.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, you're a bloody card. Oh, I swore.
All right, here we go. My sexiest voice for the people of the Central Coast. You ready?
They want it.
Call up now for birthday bang.
Come on, mate. You can do better than that.
Call now. 13, 12, 16.
You're pretty happy with that? Pretty happy
Thanks
with that.
Thanks a lot, Joe.
Good on you, Joe. Love you, mate. Well done.
Get up with Bree and Gaunzi.
CFM. Bring Gaunzi's legendary
local. Still time to register, cfm.com.au. If there's someone on the coast just doing some mad stuff.
Put them down. Put them $1,000.
Now, Ash has done that. Morning, Ash.
Morning, Ash.
Good morning.
So, are we going to reveal here who Ash has registered or just find out a bit about what that person has done?
Yeah.
So, what have they done, Ash? Why have you registered this person?
I registered this person. She's been my neighbour for in excess of 6 years now. And then she's also founded a local children's library at Chamberley Bay Community Hall.
Wow.
She shares her love of reading with the children in the community to improve their literacy skills. She does this free of charge. She gives up her weekends to do this. She tutors the local children. She's tutored my own son, and he's had a massive improvement with his handwriting and spelling. And yeah, she's a great person. And she's also been known to put my bins out on occasion too. Which
what a neighbour.
That's just icing on the cake right there.
And can I just tell you, Ashley, you're not the only person who has nominated this woman. There's been 5 or 6 other people who have all nominated this lady in particular on their own accord.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. She's wonderful.
The person we're talking about joins us on the show right now. Her name's Veronica. Morning, Veronica.
Morning.
Oh, good morning. How are you?
We're good, thanks.
Great, mate. How are you going?
Yeah, not too bad.
Are you
Ashley,
aware of
you're very naughty.
Hi, Veronica.
Ash has just got you $1,000.
$1,000, Veronica.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, far out. I can't believe it.
$1,000.
Well, you deserve it, sounds like. It sounds like you do a lot of stuff for nothing but giving up your time for others, and you deserve that $1,000.
Oh, thank you so much.
And can we just say as well, Veronica, Ash wasn't the only person to register you.
There was multiple entries.
We had a lot. We had a lot
really?
Of people registering you. Yeah, you do some great work.
Oh, far out. Thank you so much.
So the $1,000, we have discussed this in here because we want you to have it.
Someone like yourself, though, Veronica, we know that you're probably going to go off and you're going to give it to someone else and spend it on other people. We want you to spend it on yourself.
Yes.
Oh, thank you very much.
What are you going to do with it?
I have no idea. I'm just getting over this shock, to be honest.
$1,000.
Yeah, I just don't know.
It's a pretty nice feeling.
It is a nice feeling. I've never had anything like this happen to me before, so I'm so grateful. Thank you so much.
And just while we have you on the phone here as well, the library and the what you do for the kids, tell us just quickly a bit about that. Like, what got you started on that?
Oh, it's just something... I'm actually a teacher, and it's just something that I'm really passionate about, just helping children with their reading and writing.
Yep.
And it's just something that came across in my head one day, and I thought, why not give it a go? So let's hope it takes off.
Well, it's amazing stuff, mate. Nash, thanks for registering as well at the CFM website. We really appreciate it.
No worries. Legend. Thank you so much.
That was an awesome one.
Thank you.
You might have to take.
Well, thank you. Thanks to everyone that nominated for me. I'm just very speechless, and I'm just shaking like a leaf at the moment.
Veronica, if you took every one of them out for breakfast, you'd have no money left. That's how many people registered.
There's a lot, Veronica, so maybe don't do that.
Thank you so much.
That's what it's all about, our legendary locals, and we appreciate everyone that's registered someone. We could be calling them back next week with $1,000 to give away, and if you've heard that just there and you believe someone you know deserves the props, cfm.com.au, and it's all thanks to Greater Bank, where you can control your banking on your mobile. Here's how at Greater Bank.
Get up with Bree and Gaunsey.
CFM.
You know who I feel sorry for?
Who?
Grandparents.
Why's that?
They just don't have long left, do they? Well, they don't, mate.
What's with you being so morbid these days?
It's not about being morbid. I don't like thinking about it. But I went back to visit my grandparents, and we're sitting down having a nice cup of tea,
mm-hmm.
watching some TV.
Yep.
And a little word to the TV stations, stop putting funeral home ads on while the oldies are watching TV.
Especially when the bold's on.
Because it is a constant reminder, exactly, these TV shows.
There's a lot of grandparents watching The Bold.
I get you trying to target the grandparents, but don't remind them that they don't have long left.
Life insurance.
Yes.
Funeral insurance.
It's no good, mate. I'm sitting down with my nan watching some TV, and the ads come on, and just a little ad for a funeral home comes.
A rare few seem to know just what to say and the right moment to say it, or when a gesture offers more than words. These are the people who become white ladies because that's who they're born to be. White Lady Funerals, a woman's understanding.
So I look over at Nan, and she's looking at the screen, and...
Is it awkward?
It's very, yeah, it's very awkward is what it is. Because I'm looking at her and I'm thinking, oh, man.
Better get on that, Nan.
Better put in that.
If we don't laugh about it, you'll cry.
Well, that's the thing.
Like that's how my family always looks at it. Because I lost my last grandparent, my nonna, last year. So, I mean, I feel you on this. It's weird.
What I will say is, if you haven't called your grandparents in a while, if you haven't called your nan in a while, just put in that phone call today, because time's coming, unfortunately. And it's weird every time. I'll be honest with you, in a non-joking matter, whenever I go back and visit my grandparents, mm-hmm. every single time I still believe that my nan's got a good, she could go another 15, 20 years.
How old is she now?
She's got her big 80th coming up next year.
She's got a while left.
Well, you never know.
Well,
once you start getting into the 80s, but she's kind of healthy and whatnot. But every single time I go, I think, could this be
the last time you see her.
Yeah, could this be it? So, you hug them that little bit tighter and you spend that little bit longer with them.
Because you want to be left on the wheel and get all the money.
Well, that'd be nice. That would be nice.
Get up with Bree and Gaunsey.
CFM.
It's a sad day today, Bree.
It's really sad.
The Holden closure. So the final car rolls off Elizabeth production line as workers say farewell is the headline today. The last one's been made, the last Holden Commodore. There's a picture of the beauty right there, mate.
It's a hot car.
That's it.
Back in 1948, Holden rolled out the first ever all-Australian motor vehicle.
Yeah, right.
I'm so proud of, that brand. Like, that's so Australian and it's so, us, you know?
Now it's going to be all-Australian overseas.
Made. It's not the same.
Do you think it'll change it?
Yes.
In a way?
100%.
You think it will?
Definitely.
I found that ad I was talking about, by the way.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, the Holden one. It's old school,
man. You thought
it
was a song?
Well, it's a song in the ad, but it's from the 70s. I was born in the late 80s, so I don't even...
Sure you were.
I'm 50, trapped in a 30-year-old's body.
We love football, meat pies, kangaroos and Holden cars. Football, meat pies, kangaroos and Holden cars.
That's football, meat pies, stews and Holden cars.
Holden cars, mate. You can tell it's old with the...
In the background.
In the background, the static, yeah. Classic ad, mate. Just
I grew
classic
up.
Times.
I grew up in Holden cars.
Yeah,
my family's always been a big fan of the Holden. Australian made. It's an Aussie icon.
Will this stop them buying the Holden?
Yeah. Well, you know what's interesting? Mm-hmm. When my parents were here recently, Mama Di and Big Steve,
yeah,
we actually went out to Holden in Gosford, in West Gosford, and my dad was looking at one of the fancy upper class ones,
yep,
because they're rolling out all these limited edition ones at the moment. My dad's looking into buying one because they say if you buy one of those cars at the moment, it's going to be worth a lot of money down the track because it's will be one of the ones that's made here.
I'll be popping into Holden today, guys. If you're listening, keep an eye out for me. I will be.
There's some
serious
of them. I think they're only making. I can't remember the exact name of it because there's all these different ones, but they're like the really top of the range ones.
Yep.
I think they only made 100 of them.
Right.
And so if you buy one of those now, and obviously moving overseas, that's going to change it as well. It's going to be worth a packet.
Is it going to be cheaper?
What?
To buy overseas. To buy the ones that, you know, when they're being made overseas.
I don't think it'll change the price here.
Okay.
No.
Do you want to take some memories, mate?
Yeah.
All right. Ryan has given us a call from Berkeley Vale. Morning, Ryan.
Morning.
There you go, mate. How are you?
We're good, man.
We're good. What's your Holden memory?
The Shaggin' Wagon.
The Shaggin' Wagon. The Sandman.
Yeah, Sandman. HZ Sandman panel van.
Yep.
That was a hot car back in the day.
Oh, they still are now. They're beautiful.
I had a dodgier version of that, mate. I had the VN Commodore station wagon. And I tried to palm it off
mattress
as the Sandman. Mattress in the back. That's it.
You can still get them rocking.
Yeah. I love when the car matches the person, and that's what happened right there.
Let's get a lady on the show. Let's go to Nicole in Avoca.
Morning, Nicole.
Good morning.
What's your Holden memory?
Well, it's not exactly my memory, but my partner's name is actually Holden.
Really? After the car?
After the car.
Wow.
That's a family that loves Holden.
So you know, of course.
They do. His dad owned a HR, sedan type thing from 1966. Got white leather interior, but it's actually worth like $30,000.
I was going to say, those old school Holdens, like if you get the right one, can be worth a load of money.
He doesn't have a sister called Mercedes, does he? You know?
No.
He didn't go through a big ordeal.
Strictly Holden.
Okay, well that's what
I remember when we were driving in my car, speed so fast, but like I was drunk.
Brother's name's
VE.
Let's go one more this morning.
One more Holden memory.
Dan on 13, 12, 16. What's your Holden memory, mate?
Yeah, morning, gang. Look, I've got such a deep connection with Holden for my whole life. My first car was, I've rebuilt old EHs and Taranas. But then I went through and I ended up playing a professional sport for 10 years. Holden sponsored me that whole time. It just breaks my heart to think that we're losing a piece of almost like you've got your own child that's migrating overseas, you know?
It is. It's really sad. And is it going to change for you, Dan? Are you still going to buy the Holden if it's made overseas or are you done with it?
No, look, I'll still support them. I think ultimately it's still a strong web that of jobs that it supplies in Australia as far as the sales crews and all that sort of stuff. And look, we had a program on tour that was called the Holden Young Lions, which did a lot for communities where they sent pros around the communities that helped young kids and that sort of stuff get going. Those sort of programs still exist, so still worth supporting Holden, but it's just sad that we lose a chunk overseas.
It is that day, isn't it? I mean, it's the day that Holden is officially not Australian now. And I guess today is that day. It cements it in the end.
I think in memory of Holden on this day, we should all do a burnout in the front yard.
A responsible burnout.
Just a really responsible, controlled environment burnout.
Yes.
Shotgun doing it here at work. Oh, no, we already did that, didn't we?
You're encouraging people to do it.
No, I'm just kidding. Don't do a burnout.
R.I.P. Holden, guys.
If you feel the need to do it.
Just gone 6:46.
Don't do a burnout. I'll get in trouble.
Get up with Bree and Gaunzi.
CFM.
Maybe no one will call for this, actually. 13, 12, 16, if you own a registered gun. I've seen a lot of news stories about it over the last couple of weeks on the Central Coast. It is home to more than 23,000 registered guns.
That's a lot.
Isn't it a lot?
You don't even think about that. I just think that no one has any.
Yeah, that's what I think too. When you look at what happens in America, where pretty much
anyone can
walk in and get one, I just assume that no one here has them. And then when I hear 23,000 people do, says here in this article that one gun owner in Gosford has 114, another one at the entrance has 115 registered firearms.
That's so many. Surely it's a collection.
Has to be, right?
Yeah.
Total of number of guns in New South Wales has jumped by 65,000 in just 2 years. I've never seen a need to
own a gun.
No, go register myself and get a gun.
Neither.
The wedding I went to a couple of weeks ago, the groom, he's got a little collection at his place in Perth. And when I met him and went around there, and the first thing he wanted to show me was his gun collection. And we went down in this little cellar thing, and it's all kept legit in this safe and everything. But
yeah, you have to have all that stuff.
Yeah, but when he pulled it out, it's very confronting.
To be honest, I grew up around guns because I grew up on a farm, on an apple farm. My dad's an apple farmer, and we had guns on the property. And there's a lot of rules and regulations. And like my mum hates guns.
Hates them.
Yep. And she used to be on my dad's back all the time. She's like, they need to be locked in the safe. You have to be the only person with the key. And like, she was really onto it.
Did you ever get a chance to?
Yeah, I've fired quite a few weapons.
Okay.
The biggest gun that my dad had was a .22 250, which is a rifle.
Yep.
And to be honest, I just don't like it. Like my dad, I did it once or twice, and it's actually so powerful, this gun, that when you fire it, it kicks back into your shoulder so much that I had a sore shoulder for days.
Yeah.
And I was like, why? What's the point of this? I just don't.
Hunting? Is it hunting? Is it what?
Well, it's for, I don't know. Well, this sounds horrible, but. And obviously, I don't condone this, but we get a lot of parrots and birds and pests on the farm who destroy the apples and the crop. And my dad used to go out and shoot a lot of them.
Right. How does he deal with it now if he's not doing that?
Well, he doesn't technically own the farm anymore, so it's not up to him, yeah.
Well, look, 13, 12, 16, 23,000 on the coast. You think we'd get one person who's got a registered one. I'm just trying to find out what's the use? Why have you got it? What's the purpose?
Like maybe they take it out to the gun range.
Yeah?
I don't know.
We're not going to get anyone calling saying it's unregistered, obviously, but 13, 12, 16 is our number if you'd like to get in touch with us. You can also hit us up at Facebook as well through the Brian Gaundy and CFM page.
Get up with Bree and Jaunzy.
CFM.
Even just saying guns on the Central Coast, it's a pretty scary thought, isn't it?
It is.
When you think about it. 23,000 registered guns, registered firearms. They're saying the total number of guns in New South Wales has jumped by 65,000 in just 2 years.
That's a lot.
So people are out looking to get these registrations for guns. And I'm just wondering why. But someone in Gosford, it says they've got registered 114. Who needs 114? You think it's a collection?
Has to be.
You think?
Or they need to, like, check up on that guy.
Peter's in Gosford. You own a gun, Pete?
I own a few, yeah.
Okay.
I guess just to pick it up on a couple of points. Like, they're not weapons. Like, weapons are used to fight against people, and they're not weapons. They're firearms. So when you say weapons, well, you're inferring that someone's got something to harm somebody else. Like assault rifles and military weapons are weapons.
Right.
What if they're used to hunt animals, though, Pete?
Well, I guess it's a hunting gun. They're a hunting firearm. Basically, you know, I know it's a trite saying, but they're just an inert piece of metal and wood.
And what kind do you own? What's yours? What have you got?
I target shoot, hunt, and play target shoot. So I've got, you know, like from 22s through to a big caliber is a 375 Ruger, which is...
How many you got, mate?
Probably about 30... 38 or so.
38 guns at your place.
You've got 38 guns?
Yeah.
Okay.
And every time you go to get one registered, they're like, yep, no worries, mate, you have another gun.
No.
You maxed out, are you?
Hey? No. There's no limit on how many you can have. Some of those big numbers, you're probably... See, the stats are misleading because some of those big numbers that you've got there are probably dealers that are like sell firearms.
Right.
And there are collectors. And I don't... see, those stats... You know, you mentioned guns and everyone, like you guys, quiver and, oh, you know, this is disgusting. But they're collectors. See, there could be Over 1900, they've got to be registered.
We never said that. We never said that.
Pete, that it was. I thought it was a collection, so yeah. I actually said that already.
No, I appreciate that. No. But just the, you know, why would people want so many guns? You know, like, it's scary. Like, and yeah, but,
well,
yeah,
it is that. Confronting to hear.
I guess for some people it is. Yeah, but then see, there's well, obviously 23,000 firearms. There's thousands of people that have got guns, and their intention is not to harm anybody. There's restrictions on how you transport them.
What do you have to go through to get the gun, though? Like, what kind of... Do you have to do, like, a psychological test to know that you're not someone who's going to use this for bad?
Well, you know, like, obviously that would be a great idea, but then that's very, be very onerous on the firearms registry and the police. The police, to be honest, have difficulty getting out and doing all their inspections secure setups.
The police actually come out to my dad's property and check that you've got the safe and it's all
right,
like, you know, by code.
But interesting to hear no psychological tests to know that there's
I don't background know if I agree with that. Yeah.
Let's go to Ant in Lake Haven. Morning, Ant.
Morning.
Morning, guys. How are we?
Good man. Thank you. You own some guns?
I got a couple, yes.
What do you do with the guns? Do you take them to the shooting range?
Yeah, so I do vermin control, and I go to the shooting range. So, a bit of target, and I do a bit of fox removal from people's properties.
Okay, fox removal, Bree, from people's properties. But how many would you say you have?
I've got eight.
Eight, and they all use for different things, obviously.
Yeah, so I use a couple for when I go to the target practice. I'm also, trained in, 1080 baiting, so things like that. So just vermin control. So I use it for work, and as old mate said before us, they're not weapons. It's my income that I use it for.
But they can be used for weapons is what I'm saying. They can. What you have can be used as weapons.
Yeah. It can definitely, at any point be used as a weapon.
Yeah, and so have you had to go through any kind of psychological testing or anything like that to have this thing?
Or do you just register and then it goes through the system and then you've got a gun?
Well, it doesn't work like that. It's quite a long process.
Okay.
You've got cool down periods and, quite a lot of paperwork. You've got to go do, the safety test. And then, you've got to do more paperwork from there.
And did the police come out and check the stuff and your guns and the safe and all that kind of stuff? Because that's what used to happen to my dad.
So now they come out and they go absolutely everything from top to bottom. Make sure that everything's in the right spot, right place. Make sure everything's stored safe.
I wonder why the numbers have jumped 65,000 in 2 years. Why do you reckon that is over the last couple of years? Why would that have jumped so high?
A lot more people are getting into vermin control.
Right.
There's a lot of animals out west that obviously are taking over. So we've got the plagues of animals out west. So the pest control industry is just booming.
Oh well, that's a pretty simple explanation.
I didn't realise there was that many foxes in the wild.
Yeah. A lot of calls on that this morning, 13, 12, 16. You can keep them coming through.
CFM. Get up with Bree and Jonzy.
A lot of calls coming through this morning, 13, 12, 16, on this gun story we're talking about. And we appreciate all calls that come through to the show. But there is an article that's gone out over the last couple of days that says the Central Coast is home to more than 23,000 registered firearms. And look, for someone that doesn't own a gun or see guns day to day, to me that feels like a confronting number. But I guess if you're surrounded by them, they're registered, you use them for work, maybe it's not. I don't know. I'm just talking from when I hear.
We weren't vilifying gun owners.
No, not at all.
My dad is a gun owner.
Exactly.
I grew up with my dad owning guns. Like, I've been around it my whole life.
I think people get this thing in their head where they think other people think that.
Yeah.
And then they just push it on anyone that doesn't have the same agenda. But look, honestly, it's just the number was higher than I originally thought. That's all it was.
I think it's from, obviously you see over in America all these things happening and it creates that kind of hysteria and fear.
Yeah.
And it automatically happens. It just does.
Yeah. Look, I understand there's people that need it for work or whatever their personal use may be. I mean, it's a sport too to go down to the firing range and shoot some guns. I get that. It's just the number was higher than I thought. Danny in Hamlin Terrace, what have you got for us this morning, mate?
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good, thank you.
That's good. Look, I honestly think that we need more gun owners and legal gun owners. The reason is, statistically speaking, if you own a legal firearm with a license, you are less likely to commit a crime than someone who doesn't have a gun license and own guns. Now, that might sound funny to you guys, but actually is the truth. When you do own a gun license and a gun, then you are not wanting to commit a crime because you don't want to jeopardize losing that. So less than 1% of gun owners actually are ever found to have committed a crime or ever commit a crime. So that's my first point.
Where have you pulled that from, though? Where have you got that? Where is that from?
Well, they're actually the stats that are put out by the police. So you have the ability to call up the New South Wales Police Force and access all those stats. Furthermore, when you do the course, all these stats are provided to you, and they caution you in regards to if you do commit a crime, you are going to lose your guns. And guns aren't cheap. They're worth thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I know personally, I've been in pubs and people rub me up the wrong way. And I think to myself, you know what, this person, you know, deserves to be taught a lesson, you could say, but you don't do that. You step aside and you realise it's not worth losing my guns. It's not worth losing, you know, licences, things like that. So you don't. So you are, that thought is in the back of your head.
But Danny, you've got one and you've thought that.
Sorry?
You said, but you're saying you could if you wanted to.
What's that?
Well, you just said if someone rubs you up the wrong way at the pub.
You've had that thought.
Not use the gun. Never. I've never had the thought of using the gun. I've had the thought of, you know, taking him outside and having a word with him. When someone's in a pub and they're being aggressive and they threaten you and they want to, you know, take you outside, you don't go outside when you're a gun owner.
But Danny,
they're not worth it.
You're saying
I've
like
never
you
stepped outside and had a,
you think had more a fight. More people should have guns, and you think it'd be a good thing. But then you look at America and what they're going through right now.
That's right.
And do you think, like, obviously, you're saying that we should be more like them and more people should be able to get guns?
No, absolutely not. No, what the system that we have in Australia works perfectly. When you do go in to do your gun, to do the course, get your gun license, you do undergo psychometric testing. So that's
as what Danny is saying, we had a really interesting call. It was a great caller. Mark called up and he said you actually go through background tests.
Oh, that's good to hear.
And if you've ever been through anything, like if you've had an AVO taken out on you or all this different stuff, they do look at that before, and it's actually a lengthy process. So that was a great call from Mark.
Get up with Bree and Jaunzy.
CFM.
The gun chat rolls on here. Getting a lot of calls on it this morning on 13, 12, 16. And look, when we say this, we're not talking people walking around the streets with a gun in their pocket. We're talking registered guns at home.
Locked in a safe.
Under a lot of restrictions. But when we read the number, it was just higher than I thought it was going to be. 23,000 registered on the Central Coast, 65,000 jump in 2 years. I'm just fascinated just to know who's got them and why. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been taking calls this morning from some passionate people, and we've got a call from Haya on 13, 12, 16. Morning, Haya.
It's Haya.
Haya,
morning,
sorry.
Haya, sorry.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. Look, I just wanted to say, I've dealt with two people in my life that have been victims, deaths due to guns. My sister's best friend when I was growing up, she actually was shot and killed. She died straight away because there was a registered gun owner. I grew up in a small country town in Mudgee, and he, registered gun owner, was being a bit of a smart aleck when they were out hunting one day and said to his mate, "Oh my God, I bet I could shoot her in the backside from here," and aimed the gun. She walked down a hill, and he accidentally pulled the trigger and shot her straight on impact in the back of the head.
Oh, my God.
So, guns are weapons. They really are. Like, whether they're registered or not, they're not just metal and wood. They are weapons. And her name was Dali, and that changed the whole scope of gun ownership in Mudgee after she passed away. It was tragic, absolutely tragic, but the whole town rallied together and went, This is not us. Like, we're proud gun owners, not proud gun owners, but we're responsible gun owners. We need them for the country town that we're in. We get a lot of plagues of kangaroos and things like that, but that's just, it's not on.
How did it change the registry in Mudgee? What exactly changed off the back of that?
Well, there was quite a lot of protests. I must admit, I was quite young, but I know there was quite a lot of protests from her parents and her brother. I went to school with her brother as well. And so everybody at that point, they really just kind of eschewed gun ownership, and it was a lot more stringent. The laws were followed a lot more closely, because things can get lax in country towns and things like that. Mm. But now, like, there's just, it's such an important thing in Mudgee, even though this was many, many years ago, that guns are secure, because at the end of the day, they always will be weapons.
Mm.
Like, even if it's just an accident, it is a weapon. They can cause death.
I'm so sorry to hear that happened. That is an absolutely horrible story, and I guess that's reality.
Yeah.
You know, and a similar thing happened where I used to live in Stanthorpe, when, because I obviously grew up with these guns in our household. Well, they weren't in our household, they were in another location, but there was a similar thing that happened where, yeah, police check them a lot more often, and there's a lot more stringent laws about the guns and where they're kept and how they're kept, and the police do a lot of checks on them now.
When I hear someone has eight, like just personal, I think, well, do you need eight? Is eight necessary? I don't know. I don't even know if it's a numbers thing. Or I'm not saying get rid of it altogether. No, not at all. I mean, look at the... Yeah, anyway, let's just quickly, one more call. David, 13, 12, 16. Morning, mate.
Morning.
Morning, how are you?
Good, man. Thanks. So you were a policeman in the UK.
Yeah, I've never actually held a gun licence until I moved here, but I just filled in the application forms,
Sent
them in. You have your waiting period, and then applying, you have to go on a gun safety course so you know how to handle them. Whilst I enrolled in one, I must admit, it was pretty lame. It was nowhere near as stringent, and as training was not there, really. It was just making you aware of what you should and shouldn't do.
Okay. So,
it's just very, very lame. I think it needs to be more stringent. And then I just waited. Eventually, the approval came through. I got my permit, a license to go and purchase. I went and got it, and it was the end of it, really. It's nothing about an inspection of my premises, of the security, nothing about an interview. I used to do these things in the UK. If somebody put an application in, you go and visit them, you go and see who they are, see if they're a creditable person to be able to hold a gun license. You'd inspect their property and where the security is and whether it's up to standard. And if it didn't, you didn't approve it.
So even you as a gun owner, and now here in Australia, you would like to see it even more...
Absolutely.
Right, okay.
Because he's saying, you're saying, David, over in the UK,
it's tougher.
It's a lot harder.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it needs to be a lot harder. And I expected to be put through the ringer and be interviewed and I'll have a home visit. I wasn't. And that really disappointed me.
That's interesting.
Wow. Okay, well, appreciate your call this morning on 13, 12, 16, that's for sure. It's an interesting one, isn't it? Looking at those numbers. And
I guess you look back at when John Howard brought in that law and all these guns were handed in, and it changed our country a lot.
Yeah.
You know, and people, I mean, I honestly thank every day that I live in this country and how safe I feel.
Yeah.
Because I've lived in America before and how unsafe I felt. And I mean, whether that be, you know, you don't know. You just don't know. And I value living in this country every day.
Thanks for your calls this morning. We appreciate it. And,
It's just interesting stats to read.
Yeah. I just hope we haven't annoyed anyone or offended anyone with our chat this morning about it. That's all. I just want to put that out there. Because we get some very passionate callers off the air is what I will say. And we do appreciate all the calls, but, you know, just try.
We're just giving out the information.
Exactly. When you're chatting to us, just try and keep it... we're all just trying to...
We're just human beings in here, and we're just having a chat. And even our producer, Rach, you know, she takes these calls.
Yep.
And being someone, you know, like I know producer Rach is a very caring type of person, just, you know, talk to someone how you would want to be spoken to.
Well said.
Get up with Bree and Gaunzy.
CFM.
Bree and Gaunzy. We clear app rap.
Jack the Rapper, so dedicated to the rap, he's moved to Newcastle for work, still drives here to record the raps.
He's a legend.
That's
one
how
of
much
my favourite coasties, I think.
Yeah, he's
Jack
great.
The Rapper.
An accountant, generally. raps for us.
We give him the biggest weekly topics and he puts it into a rap for us. This week, obviously, the biggest story of the week is Lisa Wilkinson quits the Today Show.
Yep.
She breaks up with Today. Which
that's one of the great headlines of the year. I break up with Today.
It's a ripper. So that's obviously made the list. The NRL footy show axing Fatty Vorton, and maybe the whole show's gone altogether. That's made the list. Pink coming out and saying that she emailed Eminem drunk to do a collab with her, and that's how the latest collab with her and Eminem came about on her album. And also the Crown Casino saga with their tampered pokies have made the list.
Oh, look out. Mm. I'm sure Jack's been hanging to get Eminem and his rap. There somewhere. All right, Jack the Rapper with the weekly rap here at C.
Channel 9 has seen changes. It has been planned and unplanned. New direction, new faces. Give me a moment, you'll understand. With the footy show, clean out. Out you go, leaving Aaron with the biggest news yet. And emotions are flaring. Lisa Wilkinson waved goodbye when she realized that there was no go. No pay rise, someone had to lie. The story differs there to and fro. Lisa states, no equal pay. Channel 9 said, not today. They also said, not worth the same. One team more than the CEO. Wait, now let me reiterate. This is allegedly. Could be he said, she said, this way, that way, yup. We'll see. And a certain someone couldn't see when a drunk email was sent. Pink needed some liquid courage before the request off it went. The drunk email turned into a feature on the song Revenge. Like disgruntled ex-employees of Crown Casino now send a whistleblow. They said they saw criminal misconduct, software manipulation. That's not all, that is what's up. Blind eye to drugs and domestic abuse was allowed. And encourage if it led to increased profits. Wow. Now under investigation, providing the narration of the weekly rap, Jack the Rapper bringing the vibrations.
Jack the Rapper.
Whoa.
With the weekly rap.
He killed it this week.
Well done, mate.
Get up with Bree and Jaunty.
CFM.
Run DMC wrapping things up for us this morning. It's tricky.
That song makes anyone believe they're
a breakdancer. Doesn't it?
I'm like, I could breakdance.
Well, you can do that. You just got to do the... Need to rock around. That's right on time. It's tricky.
Your dance moves in the studio the last couple of days.
Hey, no rock around.
I want to be single forever.
Have a great Friday. We are back tomorrow with our Saturday show, 7 till 9. So we look forward to hanging out with you then.
Are you talking to your mates to get them on the show?
Yes.
Your friends?
I've sent a text to, we want to get Kate Langbrook on the show just to talk about the Lisa Wilkinson thing, because there was news that Husey took a pay cut for her.
40% pay cut. So that they could get paid the same, and then they're coming over to the drive show on our station next year.
So
it makes sense to get her on.
It'd be great to have Kate on tomorrow morning. I've sent the text, no reply at this stage, but...
Now you know how I feel with Channing Tatum.
A little bit different. pretty sure I'll hear back from Kate.
No, it's the same.
What's the latest on Channing just before we go for a Friday? Ooh. What's where are we at? He's just...
I did have a thought.
Yeah.
Maybe one more message...
Triple message.
Look at producer H.
I'm all for it. I think bombard him. Maybe. Spam him.
Oh, maybe, yeah.
Spam.
Maybe let's go completely the other way.
When I was looking back over what you'd sent him, I don't know about inviting him over topless for Christmas was the right way to go.
I think that was the wrong idea. I think I lost him on that.
You think you lost him on that.
But then what if it happened?
I know. What if?
What if he was like, I'm actually free for Christmas?
We'll always be able to ask ourselves the question, what if? We'll never know. News is next, and Rach taking over as well. R&B Fridays rolls on here at C. Keep it on the station. It's the best day to do it. And we'll catch up with you tomorrow.
Bye.
Get up with Bree and Jaunty.
CFM.